Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We praise God for this holy reading of his word today. I'm not, and I wasn't planning on doing a new sermon series on the book of Philippians, but when I read this passage of Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, it's one of the scripture readings in the common lectionary for Bible readings for today, for this Sunday. And when I read this, I thought to myself, this is a perfect passage for today. Philippians 2, 1 through 11 is a perfect Bible reading for our current culture, our current situation, and our current struggles that we face. It's also a perfect passage to study as we are resuming our study, partaking of the Lord's Supper, as we begin today and will so for the next few months before the end of the year. Our current culture has been very divisive, very mean-spirited and cruel on all sides and on almost every issue. And that was before year 2020. And so as we headed into a year of pandemics and shutdowns and stay-at-home orders and racial tensions, we took our divisiveness, our mean-spiritedness, and our cruelty with us. And unfortunately, the Christian church hasn't fared much better compared to the rest of society and culture when it comes to divisiveness. Our common value of rugged individualism seems to work well for us, except when we have to work together, except for when we have to love each other, except for when we have to be together. You see, if you take a glance at churches across the nation today, you'll find that many churches haven't even begun to open their doors and don't plan to until the new year, maybe. Others have been open all along. Some have very strict rules and procedures for how and when exactly they will open and how they open. But I think most churches, I believe, have been doing their best to comply with governing authorities and also God's command to worship him in community together. Just as the rest of broader society, many Christians have differing opinions about communal worship during this COVID-19 crisis, as they do about politics and healthcare and sports and a whole host of other issues. The problem is not that there are differing opinions. The problem is how we express our different opinions, how we continue to work together, live together, pray together, worship together as the church with so many differences of opinions, politics, and our own proclivities. The church can be a perfect mirror of the culture around us, unfortunately. It can be a perfect mirror of the attitudes and the voices that we see in the news or hear about in the news or read on our social media posts. Or the church can be so, so much better and so much more than just a mirror of what we see and hear from the rest of society around us. The church can be a perfect example of having the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus. And that's where we're going today as we look at this perfect passage from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. So if we take what we're reading today in this passage as if we were listening to a phone conversation, we're listening to only one side of the conversation, right? We're only listening to part of that conversation. But if we listen carefully to this side of the conversation that we're reading in our Bibles, we may be able to surmise what the trouble was in that early church in Philippi. And in chapter 1, verse 1, they address this letter to all of God's holy people. All of God's holy people in Christ Jesus in Philippi, and they specifically mention church leadership together with the overseers, the elders, and the deacons. All of God's holy people apparently were having some troubles there in Philippi. And you could figure it out by some of the repetitions that we read even today. In verse 2 of chapter 2 alone, it says, "They then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." Oneness, 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 and of the same mind, the sameness, sameness, sameness. It could be easy to see that there may be some difficulties in that early church and some disunity in that church. The words like-minded and of one mind are repeated. So does Paul want us to be robots? Does he want us to just all think the same thoughts all the time? I don't think so. But there is one mind. There is one mind that, or orientation or attitude that we should imitate, that he's arguing for. Maybe the disunity that we're reading about in Philippians, or that we think we're reading about and we're listening in on this conversation, maybe the disunity was partially due to some of the women who were working so closely with the Apostle Paul in the early church that he wrote about in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Or maybe it was the Judaizers who were kind of trying to force some of the Jewish elements into the Christian church that he talks about in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Or maybe it was just that certain people didn't like Paul. They didn't like his pushy personality, maybe. They didn't like him as an apostle, or simple envy or jealousy or pettiness over indifferent matters. Leadership tensions, doctrinal tensions, petty arguments, we see it all in the church today too. Our passage goes on in verses 3 and 4 to talk about selfish ambition, vain conceit, looking to one's own interests. If you're just hearing this side of the conversation, it appears that everyone may be just out for themselves. They're just thinking about and acting about their own needs as more important than anyone else's needs. They were not thinking as one church family. They were not thinking as a team, in other words. Everyone was just out for themselves. And that's what I'm picking up as I read this part of the letter to the Philippian church. So what we see here are three negatives today, verses 3 through 4. First, do nothing out of selfish ambition or selfishness. Second, do nothing out of empty glory. That's what that word vain conceit literally means, this empty glory. Do nothing out of empty glory. Third, don't go looking after your own interests all the time. Biblical commentator Fred Craddock puts it nicely when he says, don't have a selfish eye, don't have a pompous mind, and don't have an ear that is always hungry for a compliment, but with a mouth that never gives one, or a heart with little room for others and hands that only serve the self. These things, these attitudes, this orientation toward other people is not fitting in the church. It's not fitting, appropriate for the body of Christ. In other words, these approaches are not fitting for any follower of Jesus Christ. And I think it would be good for all believers, even today, to examine ourselves with regard to our attitudes and our approaches toward others, and maybe especially towards those we disagree with. You notice it doesn't say that that we should have this mindset of Christ just towards our friends, just towards those we agree with and have good times with. No, it's toward everybody in your relationships. Do we demonize others? Do we turn a disagreement into war right away? Do we misrepresent others' positions, falsely accuse them of things, or just paint them in a dark light just to make them look bad? And we should consider how we respond or react to our online forums as well. That seem to spiral out of control so easily. Our perfect passage of Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, points us in a better way, a more perfect way. And it begins by reminding us of how believers have been changed and blessed because of Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives, but also in the community, in the church community. In fact, this is where our exhortation begins. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. You see, I don't think there's a lot of doubt here, even though he's using the word if you have this. That's like, it's like he's saying, if I am a friend of yours, and you know I am, so therefore in verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being with united with Christ, and I know you do have encouragement. You see, what he's doing here, he's appealing to what has already taken place of the believers in the church in Philippi. It's an appreciative inquiry. He's bringing out the good things that are already going on. They have already experienced a sense of unity, joy, freedom, forgiveness in Christ, a knowledge of salvation in him. And in all of our vocal voices today, let us not forget that. Let us not forget the tender-hearted compassion and the unity that we've experienced as a church through Jesus Christ. And then, as it says in Paul's prayer in chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, he says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." That's his prayer for this church, and my prayer for our church too, that our love would grow in that knowledge and depth of insight, that it would mature, and we'd have this maturity as a body of Christ in our interactions with one another, in our relationships with each other. There is a better way, a better mindset, a better attitude, a better orientation, and the church can be a shining example of a better way, a different way, and not simply a mirror of the attitudes and the voices of our culture or what we hear in the news or in our social media. Do you set the temperature in the room, or do you just react to it? In other words, are you a thermostat setting the temperature, or are you a thermometer just reacting to the temperature in the room? The second part of verse 3 and following begins to show us that better way, where he says, rather. Instead of disunity and selfishness and this empty, vain glory he talks about, rather, in humility, value others better than yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that word mindset and the word mind gets repeated again here. Don't have that mind, he's been arguing, but have this mind instead. And that word sense, or the word if, could be replaced with the word sense. Since you have encouragement, since you have unity in Christ and comfort from his love and a common sharing in the Spirit, since you have tenderness and compassion, since you have these things, we can build a better and stronger community with Christ as our foundation. The Bible points us to Christ because the Gospels always speak of a Christ who is a humble servant to others. And his disciples are called to the same mindset, to be humble servants to others. The appropriate mindset or orientation or attitude toward others in the body of Christ for believers is to have the same mindset as Christ. And what is that mindset? And that's what the next section is going to talk about in verses 6 through 11. The Bible calls us to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, and then goes on to say, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage or to be grasped, as some of our translations have it. And so much is said about these verses, verses 6 through 11, and we often pull those verses right out of the book of Philippians, and we want to talk about what Jesus and who Jesus is and how wonderful this is. And it's a wonderful, wonderful statement. It's a wonderful passage. But we don't know why. We don't always know why Paul quotes from this ancient hymn, as the scholars believe that those verses come from an ancient hymn or an ancient confession of the early church. We like to pull those out and just talk about who Jesus is. But why is Paul using that in this letter to an actual church, the church in Philippi? Verses 6 through 11 definitely relate to what came before, verses 1 through 5. Remember, we're talking about believers in the church having the same mindset as Christ Jesus, and we know that church was struggling with some form of disunity, disagreements. And here in verses 6 through 11, that mindset is being described. Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be used or taken advantage of, but instead, in verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And the original word there is kenosis. He emptied himself. And it's very interesting that we're told not to have this empty sort of glory in ourselves. And here Jesus is, full of glory, emptying himself of glory in order to serve others. He took on the nature of a servant. And that's the posture of Christ followers today too, servanthood. Christ existed in equality with the Father before he took on human flesh. And so he empties himself to serve and love in human flesh to show us the way of humble and obedient servanthood to one another. He shows us a better way. In verse 8, it says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus submitted to the forces of this life that any human being would experience, including that of death. He experiences it all so he redeems it all. He was obedient to the will of God the Father, even to the cross. And that kind of obedience and servanthood should mark every believer today too, laying down one's life for one's friends. Therefore, as this ancient hymn continues in verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord, that first confession of every Christian. There's no place beyond his reach or his authority. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess or acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. You see, this hymn that Paul quotes in his letter to the Philippian church points us to Jesus as we consider what is fitting, what is appropriate conduct in the body of Christ, the church. Not disunity, not selfishness or individualism looking to our own interests, not glory-seeking ambition. Many of these things we see in our world, or maybe we were taught it at home as a child. But instead, fitting conduct resembles a humble valuing of others as better than ourselves and looking to the interests of others. That is, having the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That mindset is humble and obedient service to one another. And then he says in verse 14 and following, that we didn't read that part this morning, verse 14 and following, he says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault and a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Do everything without grumbling or complaining. Is that even possible, church? To do everything without grumbling and complaining. Some of us specialize in that, don't we? So in this warped and crooked generation and culture in which we live, the Christian church is called to do it better, to disagree better, to live better, to love better, to hope better, to humbly serve one another and forgive each other better. How might that be possible? How might that be possible with all of our differences, with all of our disagreements, with all of our sinfulness and brokenness? And I say only by the grace of God and then through his Son, Jesus Christ. Since we have experienced unity in the faith, since we have encouragement with Christ, since we have a common sharing in the Spirit, and we've experienced the tenderness and compassion from our Lord, since we have experienced these things, let our mindset be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who emptied himself of his glory in order to serve and love others, even to the point of death. And in our communion this morning, let the communion table remind us once again of that once-for-all sacrifice and service that Christ made when he was obedient all the way to the cross, for his great, great love for us took him there. His body was given for you. His blood was shed for you, for the forgiveness of our sins, all of them. Praise be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Oh Lord, we come to the table today We come as broken sinners in need of your grace and your forgiveness. It's been a long time, Lord, and we're hungry and we're thirsty. We come seeking grace, looking for a deep healing love. We come to remember that great love that took Jesus to the cross. Thank you, God, for forgiveness, full and free. Thank you for causing your Spirit to move among us and transform us as a body here at Fellowship. Continue to bind us together, Lord, in love, in unity for the gospel, and in a common concern for those yet not enfolded into the church. And so this morning, we set aside these very common elements of bread and juice in prayer for a very special purpose of remembering and receiving. May we remember the sacrificial love of Christ and receive your amazing grace, knowing that your Spirit is in the room with us today and ministering to each one of us through this sacrament. May we receive your amazing grace that is greater than all of our sins, all of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.